Hey everybody, I'm Allene Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast, where we educate women on how timeless biblical truths can heal soul hurts. And today, I want to talk to you about the soul hurt that happens through words. Now, oftentimes, we might think that, well, you know, these words should just roll off of our back, but the truth of the matter is that words matter. They carry a tremendous amount of power. Words can wound us. And what often happens is that because this damage happens on a soul level where you can't see the scar, the hurt, well, it's often left untreated. And maybe these words were said to you as you were growing up. Maybe they were said to you inside of a marriage. Maybe it was inside of a classroom with a teacher. Maybe it was inside of a friendship. But the truth is that the Bible makes it so clear that words carry, the words you and I say, they carry tremendous amount of power and they can wound the soul. And what happens is that, for example, if I were to, if someone were to hit me hard and I had a black eye, well, then there would be validation of that hurt. I might struggle with, if I was in some sort of relationship, a lot of women that are physically abused struggle even with separating them, but at least there would be a visible validation of the hurt. When we are wounded because other people are using words to maybe pull others down, to prop themselves up, to maybe shame you into doing something, whatever the case is, the words end up hurting us, but the scars we can't see. And so because there's no visible scar, oftentimes that hurt isn't validated and the wound is left untreated. But because it is still there and because it's not healed, that wound will continue to haunt you. Those words continue to haunt you and they bring that fruit of insecurity, worry, and fear. And I know this because it happened to me. And what happens is that on a subconscious level, when we hear repeated words over and over again, and when those words are negative, and let's just say that the somebody says something, they can say, you're an idiot or you're stupid. Over time, if we hear those words over and over again, the you are becomes our I am. We don't physically maybe say it, but somewhere deep in our subconscious level, we begin to believe the bad things that are said about us. And when we set out in life, we may try to prove other people wrong and we may be very successful, but there's always this drumbeat deep in our soul that's saying to us things like, you're not enough, you're not much, You aren't good enough. And so that is the drumbeat deep within our soul. But the thing is that you were made for more and that you can find healing. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. But the very first thing that I need to bring up is this validation of emotional abuse, the validation of emotional abuse, because it used to be for me that if somebody said something, you know, with sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But the truth is that words do hurt. And instead of denying the pain, if we'll open ourselves up to it and process the pain with Jesus, he can show us truths that will set us free. And if we don't do that, What we try to do sometimes is we try to get the person to think differently about us, or we go out and we try to validate ourselves through success and accolades, or we might medicate the pain through emotional eating or whatever it may be. But you have to understand that you have to drown out that drumbeat. And the truth is that God wants to silence that drumbeat in your life by teaching you a new tune of truth. But the first point in this is that it doesn't matter what anybody else says, that you need look no further than the Word of God for you to see the validation inside of wounds that happen from words. In fact, when Jesus was giving his Sermon on the Mount, the very first sermon that he gave, we find in Matthew chapter 5 that Jesus is taking Old Testament law, and many theologians believe that he is explaining further, you know, the deep meaning of the law. And so we see things as such as, you know, you've heard it say, don't have adultery, but then I say, don't look at somebody lustfully. Well, he talks about murder. And I want to read the scripture to you, and I'm going to be using the Message translation. And I saw something in this that I'd never seen before, and it goes along with what we're talking about. This is Matthew 5, 21 through 22. In the Message translation. You're familiar with the commandment to the ancients, do not murder. And I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. Now watch this. Carelessly call a brother an idiot, and you might just find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you are on the brink of hellfire. Listen to this next sentence. The simple moral fact is that words kill. Words kill. See, Jesus was very serious about the words that we speak over others. And the reason is that words have power. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs it up. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Words have power. And the words that were spoken over you when you were growing up, inside of a friendship, inside of a marriage, they will impact your life. They will impact your life. And this goes for the words that are said over us, and it's also a warning for the words that we use to speak over others. And essentially what Jesus was saying here inside of this passage is, well, you know, you're patting yourself on the back because you've never hurt anybody. But even if you call somebody an idiot, And he says, you use careless words, call somebody stupid. That's a huge problem. Why? Because words kill, and they do. They kill the soul. And so many women have walked through emotional abuse, and the weapon of emotional abuse is words. And until we say, this is a hurt that I went through, this is real, this happened to me, and until we can bring it to Jesus to find healing, right, then that words, those words that were spoken with us will continue to have an impact on our life. Words carry tremendous power. Now, as much as words carry tremendous power, what is so beautiful about what I'm getting ready to share with you is that, you know, it may have been words that wounded you. It may have been words that gave you that drumbeat deep in your subconscious. And I say that because none of us walk around saying, I'm not good enough, I'm ugly. None of us say that, right? we try to prove ourselves the other way. But it's almost like this unwritten, it's like playing out in our thought life, and it's always there. And until you acknowledge the pain and bring it to Jesus, it will always be there. And you may not verbalize it, but it's going to be like a drumbeat in your life. In Mark chapter 1, the Bible says that that Jesus, as he began his ministry, one of the very first things that he does is that he is baptized. And after he's baptized, in verse 11, it says this, "And a voice from heaven said, 'You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy.'" You bring me great joy. And so, see, these are the words that God speaks over his son. And these are the words that he wants to speak over us. And what is ironic is that right after God says this, the Bible tells us, and this I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew now, verse 4, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and nights he fasted and became hungry. During that time, the devil came to him and said to him," all right? So God used his words to bless Jesus, right? And then the enemy comes in. And when he tempts Jesus, the very first thing that he does is he uses his words to attack Jesus, to attack him in this specific area in his identity. In fact, in the very words, the very opposite of what God spoke over him, he says this, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." And do you see how manipulative that is? And do you see how he's just taking those words, that truth that God spoke over him, and he's twisting it ever so slightly, just like a narcissist would do, right? And using his words to try and attack Jesus and his identity. Well, Jesus knows who he is, right? And the way, and so watch this. So God uses his words to bless. The enemy takes those words and twists them and uses them to try and tempt us by attacking us in our identity. But then Jesus fights back. He battles back and he uses the word of God to do it. And so here's the ironic thing. We are made for more, and we can find healing. And ironically, if it is words that wounded you, it is also words that will heal you, but not just any words. God's word to you. God's word to you. And this is the reason why studying the word of God and letting it saturate into my soul changed my life. Because I had a drumbeat, and inside of reading God's word, I experienced life-giving, nurturing words. I experienced opening up a passage of scripture and hearing the Holy Spirit speak to me, and hearing him affirm me, right? And those words meant everything to me. And because I know that I could be tempted to fall back and to believe lies, or I know that, you know, there's some days where my thought life is just negative, right? Or there's some days where I might let a self-deprecating word slip out of my mouth. I know that I've got to stay inside of the word. Why? Because there's a battle going on. And the battle is for your heart, right? You see, when we invite Jesus into our heart, you know, that's really when the real battle begins. And as much as there is a God that loves you, there's an enemy of your soul that knows that drumbeat in your life. And all he does is he begins to start the tune, and he knows that you'll continue to play along with it. And that's why you and I must be so aware of our felt life. We must take every thought captive, and we must do as Jesus did. Pull out the sword of the Spirit and speak truth back. Inside of that first chapter of Mark, in verse 15, John the Baptist says this when he's announcing and paving the way for Jesus to come. He says, the time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. And have you ever noticed that in the Bible, we see that phrase, the kingdom of God? And are you ever like, you know, what does that mean? Well, the Bible tells us, what John told us is that Jesus is ushering in the kingdom of God. And that the kingdom of God is mentioned over 60 times in the Bible, right? And basically, if we were to boil it down into one sentence, I would say God's rule in the human heart is the kingdom of God. And let me give you another definition of this. The place where things in God's heart are outwardly expressed in the world through the actions of others. It is the presence and the power of God. It is God's defining work in us as our actions reflect His will on earth. And so, see, you and I have been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness, right? Into the kingdom of light. And every time we take those steps of faith, and every time we speak life, it's like God is using us to display His kingdom one step at a time. And the Bible often talks about, it's almost a paradox, how the kingdom of God is near at hand. And then other times, the way that it's presented, it seems far away. And it's not a contradiction. Basically, what it means is that the kingdom of God is God's will. And right now, while you and I live inside of a broken world, we see glimpses of that glory. Right now, where you and I are living inside of a broken world, while we follow Jesus and we put our faith in action and we follow Him, we are displaying that here on earth. But because we live in a broken world, right? It's not all the kingdom of God, right? And so the fact that it is far away, we know one day we will be in glory. Well, God will wipe away every tear. But right now, the Holy Spirit is sort of like an eternal thread connecting us to heaven. And as we walk out those steps, and that's why Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done. That is you and I, put action to our faith and walk that out. And part of that is aligning our thinking with Jesus, because there's a battle going on for our heart. And so as God affirms us, the enemy will attack us. And we have a choice to make in that moment, because agreement is empowerment over one voice or the other. And we have to decide, are we going to agree with the voice of our past? Are we going to agree with the enemy? Or are we going to agree with our Heavenly Father and who He says we are and who we are in Him? And see, when we embrace our core authentic identity, it is the key to our offensive weapon, right? Inside of the battle. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God, and it tells us that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, that it is our offensive weapon. And you and I must rise up and pick up that sword. And you might be super Sally, spiritual Christian, and you just are like, I have to meditate on the Word of God every day. I have to renew my mind on who He says I am every single day, because I want God's truth to become louder in my life, that I may be led by the Holy Spirit, because what words we choose to agree with will empower one kingdom over the other. In other words, there's the kingdom of God, there's the kingdom of darkness. And the enemy is the one that speaks to us with those condemning thoughts. And he knows that past drumbeat in your life. And he knows exactly what lies to lead you to make you start. It's sort of like if you know a tune and somebody just starts the beginning of the tune, like, you know, like everybody knows the tune, Happy Birthday to You. And so if I go to da, 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 I mean, you will be able to continue on that tune. And see, emotional wounds from our past, the words that have hurt us from the past, if we don't rise up and find that truth, it is just bait that the enemy can use over and over and over again. But you are made for more. And fighting this battle, it's not about frantically striving to become a Christian. It's not about trying and trying. And it is about surrendering step by step, one day at a time, one step at a time, to that still small voice that's speaking in your heart. And so here's the thing. You and I are inside the battle. And so because we're inside the battle, we need to understand the battle plan. Number one is just to understand that there is a battle. And that when you feel like your thought life is just flying out of control, instead of saying, well, why can't I take every thought captive and feeling frustrated because of that, recognize, let that battle affirm you, right? That you are God's child and that you are inside of his will. In other words, when Jesus stepped into his ministry, that is when the enemy began to tempt, right? And so when we are experiencing that battle in our thought life, we need to see this as a good thing. Number two, you must pay attention to your thought life. You must pay attention to your thought life. And you must hear the words that Jesus spoke in the Sermon of the Beatitudes about carelessly, you know, calling somebody an idiot. And, you know, a lot of times we hear women doing that to themselves. We need to understand that words kill, and there's plenty of people out there who love to throw mean words. Don't you dare do it to yourself, right? Don't do that. And really pay attention to your thought life. And when you start to have those self-deprecating thoughts, or you need to rise up and you need to speak the truth. And then you must make time to listen to Jesus and ask him questions as you're inside of the Word. In fact, with the Treasured Ministries Bible study, one of the things that we do is we teach you how to find core authentic identity through God's Word. And the beautiful thing about doing that step by step is that it's the Holy Spirit that's leading you through the Word, right? And so God will highlight exactly the truth that you need to apply to your life. And then also with the Nourish Bible Study Method, we incorporate the discipline of biblical meditation. And there is nothing that has been a bigger game changer in my life than biblical meditation. Why? Because it's speaking the word. It's speaking truth. And words are powerful. Words are powerful. All words contain power, right? The words that people speak over us, the words that we say. But only God's word has the power to change our lives. Only God's word. I mean, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that God formed the world with his words. He formed the world with his words. God's word has tremendous power in your life, and that power can trump those words inside of your subconscious, the words that have been tripping you up all of your life. And as you pull into the presence of Jesus, and if you take the 21-day challenge, we teach you exactly how to do that. God will uncover truth, truth that you can anchor your soul to. And we enter in. We enter into God's presence, and we agree with that. And when we agree, our lives start to align, because belief always affects behavior. And what we believe will have an effect on our actions. And the more that we act, the more that we choose to be inside of the Word and to listen and to agree with who God says we are. And the way that you agree, we can't just be passive about our thought life. We have to actively rise up against it. It's like we're building the kingdom, one brick at a time, one step at a time, and God is displaying His splendor through you, because you are His beloved daughter, who He dearly, dearly loves. And nobody can take that away from you. Not what was said about you in the past, not what the enemy whispers in your ear, and nobody can take that for you. And it's time for you to do the work so that you can believe who God says you are, because you were made for more. And when we begin to do that, that's when you and I can take steps to become all that God has created us to be. You see, Jesus, when He came, He ushered in a new way of living. He ushered in, He made it possible for us to have a relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit can speak those truths. And when He speaks those truths will trump our past trauma so that we can live in victory. And that is exactly what God wants for you. And in closing today, what I want to say is, let us all be a part of the solution. Let us all watch the words that we say to others, whether passive aggressive or whatever it may be. Let us watch that, because our words matter. And let us be those who use the words, our words, to be a blessing to others. Thanks so much for joining in today. And again, if you're interested in finding out more about biblical meditation and finding out more about, you know, how do I discern core authentic identity inside of the Word, or how do I know when God is speaking to me, or how can I find one truth every week to begin to renew my mind to, I want to invite you to go to our website, treasureministries.com, and take the 21-day challenge. Thank you so much for listening in today, and I pray you have a blessed week. Bye-bye.